let us keep in step with the Spirit. Okay, since we live by the Spirit, let us then walk in the Spirit. And the idea is that if the Spirit is working in you, like we talked about, then allow the Spirit to also direct your steps. Okay, in other words, my course in life and where I'm going should be directed by the Spirit. Don't set your own course in the opposite direction of what the Spirit wants. The two need to be aligned together. See, when I invite the Spirit into my life, I'm not just dragging him around everywhere just to, hey, come along with me. I'm listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Your way is better. We just sang that. Do you believe that? Your way is better. Right? Well, if we believe that, then we ought to be led in that way. But will you be keeping in step in 10 years from now? Will you be keeping in step with the Spirit in 20 years from now and in 30 years from now? What's the secret to doing this? Many people will fall away. I mean, the Bible even talks about people falling away in the end times, right? They'll fall away. And mostly because of how much has happened to them in this life. Think about that tragedy in Texas. How terrible that is for the parents who now have to deal with this thing that's happened to them. Right? These are the reasons why many fall away. Paul reveals the secret in the book of Philippians. I almost want to call this the 10th fruit of the Spirit. Okay, there's nine of them, right? I want to call it that, but it is really the byproduct of a life submitted to the Spirit. And we're going to start real quick in Philippians chapter 4. I'm just going to read a couple verses, the important verses of this whole series that we're going to be really focused on. Philippians 4:11. You guys have heard this. He says, "For I have learned..." Learned. Oh, we have to learn this stuff, right? It just doesn't come naturally all the time. "I have learned to be content." What's that next word? Whatever. Okay, say whatever real loud. Ready? One, two, three, go.
Whatever.
Whatever the circumstances. I've learned to be content. Some people start going through hard times and hard things. And yes, we've been through a lot of hard things, unexpected things, things we never plan on happening in our lives. Maybe we're going through some of those right now. And whatever is hitting you right now. I'm sure we could all share some stories. But some people begin to go through these things and they say, whatever. Right? Whatever. All right? That is not the same whatever that's in Philippians chapter 4. Okay? They don't mean whatever like Paul said it. What they mean is, and maybe you've been there, I don't care anymore. Right? It's an I give up attitude. That nothing will ever change me, which kind of spirals, right? It turns into this leave me alone mindset. And then kind of this I am who I am philosophy of life. But the work of the Spirit is about transformation in our lives. Amen? Changing us from the way we were to the way God wants us to be. And so when Paul says, whatever, it's the exact opposite of that. Paul is standing his ground and saying, anything that comes at me in this life, I can handle. And those things will not leave me discontent and unsatisfied and upset and unhappy. Paul's whatever is the resolve to stay the course and to find real satisfaction from the only source. And we know who that is. How did Paul learn such a thing? Is he just so scholarly and so, you know, intelligent and so much higher than all of us that he just came to this conclusion? No. Philippians 4:12 says this: I know. Everybody say, I know. Ready? I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. Right? That tells us right there that Paul went through all sorts of stuff in life, a whole array. And yet he says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether I'm well fed, I got it all, or I am hungry and there's a bunch of needs, and living in plenty or in want. Verse 13, what is it? I can do all this or all things through him who gives me strength. See, that's the secret right there. Paul says, I know because of what he's gone through. I know. The Greek word here, I know, means I know how. I know how. It means I know the answer. When you define this word, and it carries with it the idea of being skilled in something, right? And that means that when Paul says, I know, and how this is translated, it means that true contentment will come through the real ups and downs of life, through real experience, the tough stuff that we're going through right now is what God wants to use to teach you to be able to say, I know. I know the truth. And you're not going to get there by just the words on the page, right? You have to apply them to your life, and through all those experiences, you can say, I know. I know the answer and the ups and downs, just as Paul did. And sometimes, you know how life goes, sometimes life reduces us. Sometimes life lifts us up. Sometimes life skyrockets. Sometimes we are humbled. And that's how we go through life, but through it all, have we learned to handle both scenarios? Paul says, I've been in both places. And in both places, we need the same secret. I can do all of these things through him who gives me strength. Now, some people use this verse to say, well, what this means is I can walk into a hospital and pray and empty the hospital. That's what this means. I'm just going to go out and start performing miracles. Well, I believe in miracles. Okay, I even prayed for a guy one time and he was healed. He was sick and he got better. That happened once. I believe in miracles. But this is not about performing the miraculous. If you look closely at this scripture, we're not talking about that. Those things happen through him, obviously. But in context, this is about enduring the suffering that life brings. Life brings miracles. Life brings healing. Life also brings suffering and hardship. It brings all of it. And what we're saying is that I can make it through whatever circumstances come my way through the strength of the Holy Spirit that works in me. I'm not on my own to get through this thing. The Holy Spirit is with me. And this might be more important for your life to learn this than to see even a single miracle happen. This is important. Or to even have a single prayer answered. It is to learn to be content whatever the circumstances, right? Because of what Jesus Christ has done for us and what we have waiting for us. We can get through these things. And that way, when the road turns in an unexpected direction, you know, you're going, it just goes that way. All right, your faith doesn't also go that way. All right, your faith stays on the road. Life's turning in all these funky directions. Right, so I want to begin our study today in the book of Philippians by taking a look at Acts 16. So we're not even going to be in Philippians at first. We've got to go to Acts chapter 16. This is the origin story of the church at Philippi. And when we're finished with this, throughout this series, I think you're going to see that the church at Philippi serves as an example that God has bigger plans than we do. He knows what he's doing. And sometimes he even has to tell us no, because he has a better plan than what we're thinking about. Our job is to keep in step with his plan, to keep in step with the Spirit. And that means to endure even the hardest circumstances that we find ourselves in. Now, let's get to it. Paul visited Philippi for the first time on his second missionary journey. Okay? He went on three missionary journeys, and the first one, he stayed kind of close to home in the region of Asia Minor, which is around the Mediterranean Sea. I'm sorry I don't have a map for you today. You might have to look this up yourself, okay? But you're familiar with the Mediterranean Sea. All right? And today, that region is considered Turkey, the modern-day Turkey. This is not too far from Israel. But on his second journey, Paul went out again. He sat out again, and he wanted to expand from there, from the same place he had reached before. But Acts 16 tells us that the Holy Spirit said no. It was the Holy Spirit that kept Paul and his team from going further into Asia. I don't know how the Holy Spirit kept them from going into Asia, but something happened and the Holy Spirit said no. Sometimes the Spirit says no. We have to be willing to accept that. And so Paul does what many of us do, execute plan B. Okay, I'm going to try a different way. And they try to go around Asia to the upper regions. But the Bible says the Spirit would not let them go there either. Another no. Sometimes if you're listening closely to the Spirit might be saying no to what you want to do. He might be saying, no, don't go that way. And it doesn't make any sense to not go that way, other than the Spirit is saying, don't do it. I know what lies ahead. So picking it up in Acts 16 in verse 8, here's what it says. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. Troas is on the edge of Asia, the edge of Turkey there, and you really can't go any further. There's just water. It's just the very edge. And during the night, verse 9, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, it says, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. This is what we call the Macedonian call. where the gospel takes a huge strategic shift. It's an important part of Scripture. And so they got on a boat and they set sail for Macedonia, which is basically in northern Greece, and they stay in the city of Philippi. Okay, what is God up to? Well, this is what I love about how God works sometimes. We find that his plans are so much higher than ours. You know, Paul had a huge heart for ministry, but Philippi wasn't even on his radar. He wasn't even planning to go there, right? Paul had wanted to strengthen the churches that he had already planted. That made sense, but God had different ideas. And God's ideas meant that Paul had to completely abandon the mapped out mission that he had. I mean, you know, he mapped out every part of that. He knew where he was going, to all the churches he had planted and to new locations. He had to abandon that mission. He had to yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and he had to literally change his steps in a whole new direction. Because when you're standing in Troas, where they were, if you look this way, you're looking over the sea, and if you look that way, you're looking at everything Paul wanted to do, and this way was everything he wasn't even considering. Not at all. Did this move make any sense? It made no sense at face value. Philippi, according to verse 12, was heavily Roman and a leading city in the district. In fact, Paul, the way he planned out his missions work, he would usually start from preaching in a synagogue, right? So that's probably, you know, for the most part, how he planned a lot of his missions trips. But there wasn't one in Philippi. So of course he wouldn't even think to go there. And if there wasn't a synagogue in Philippi, that means there were not very many Jewish men there. There wasn't a huge Jewish presence, so he really wasn't focused on that. Nothing was established. And so instead of the traditional ministry that he was used to, where he would begin preaching at a synagogue, they had to find a new place. They found a river. They went down to this river and they began to pray. And it was by this river that a number of women gathered, and they began to listen to Paul. Paul and his companions and a big group of women. And they're listening to the gospel. Acts 16, 14 says this: one of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia. You may have heard of her. She was a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Wow. Incredible. Everything is going perfectly so far, right? And if this is how keeping in step with the Spirit is in ministry all the time, I suppose we'd all be doing a lot more. But resistance begins. And here it comes. A demon-possessed slave girl is also there. And she begins to cut in on all the prayer meetings. And this girl was a fortune teller. She was able to tell the future. And she was possessed, right? And she was making tremendous amounts of money for her owners. They were using her, making money on her. She was predicting the future. And she tried to destroy Paul's ministry, and literally the Bible says she was annoying them, just being annoying. And Paul got so annoyed that he cast the evil spirit out of her, and this cost her owners a small fortune. And guess what? Circumstances began to change, and now Paul and his companion Silas are arrested, and they're stripped down, and they're beaten with rods. Ouch! That'll leave a mark. I don't want to go through that, right? They're thrown in the prison without a trial. What a turn of events. Everything's going great. We're down by this beautiful river. All these people are responding. Here's this woman named Lydia. Now I'm being beaten with rods and thrown into prison. Is this really you, God? Right? Are you really leading my life? Verse 23, Acts 16 says, after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received those orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Doesn't seem like they deserved all this. But you know what? It's like we said before, the work of the Spirit in you and what happens to you are very different. They're very different things. Tough things can happen to us all the while the Holy Spirit is working in us. And aren't you grateful that Paul learned the secret of contentment in all circumstances? That we can make it through these tough things, that it doesn't shift his faith off course. He had the resolve to say, whatever comes my way, I can make it through this. And I love this part, Acts 16:25. You know, ask yourself, how do you respond when tough things happen? All right, verse 25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, and they were singing hymns to God. And all the other prisoners were listening to them. This worship is happening after this severe trial. Worship comes out of Paul. Isn't that amazing? Suddenly, he's just worshiping. Right? It's not like he said, oh God, would you release the prison doors? He's just praising the name of God. And an earthquake happens. Verse 26, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Wow. Jailbreak, run, go, we're out. But you know, that's not what happened. Paul didn't run. Instead, he praised. He praised the Lord for all the circumstances that he found himself in. He continued to praise the Lord. All of a sudden, the jailer woke up and he was planning on ending his life. Because he thought that all the prisoners had escaped. But not one prisoner left the prison. They all just stayed close to Paul. And they said, hey, we're all still here. Don't hurt yourself, right? And the story concludes, and you got to read this on your own time, Acts 16. It's so powerful. The story concludes with the jailer and his entire family coming to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And then when it's all said and done, they all leave and go back to Lydia's house. How cool is that? Now, God's plan revealed. Let's just pull the curtain back on what God was doing. Because that's a great story, right? Making it through these tough circumstances. Three things were happening during this story that we may not even realize. We may not even catch going through the story. Number one, when you go back and read Acts 16, when you get there on your own, you're going to see something that's very cool. At verse 10, you're going to see a change in the narration of the story. It shifts from they were doing all this stuff to we were doing all this stuff. It shifts from the third person to the first person. And scholars believe that right here in Scripture, this is the point at which Luke and Paul met in their ministry. Why did God want to take Paul to Troas? Because he wanted him to meet Luke. What a connection for the gospel. Luke would go on to travel with Paul, and that's why it starts to say we, because who wrote Acts? Luke. He would go on to travel with Paul for the rest of his journeys and write the book of Acts and the gospel of Luke. And between Paul and Luke, these two men right here meeting at this moment would write almost 70% of the New Testament. What a powerful connection. Paul didn't know that was going on. He just had to listen to the Spirit. Where do you want me to go? I'll go. Because I trust the Lord and his plans. Number two, Paul was looking at Asia to expand the gospel. Now, if we were to expand a map of the Mediterranean and start, you know, because every time you see the maps with Israel, you just see right around the Mediterranean. But if you begin to expand that and zoom out, you would begin to see the continent of Asia come into view, as well as the continent of Europe. Okay, but what lies between those two continents is the Aegean Sea and the port city of Troas. Right where they were. So when Paul left from Troas with his new friend Luke, went over the water, the Aegean Sea, and landed in Macedonia, he did not move from town to town. He moved from continent to continent. Wow, how's that for expansion of the gospel? God had a bigger plan in mind. Isn't that cool that God knows so much more, has so much more in mind? Number three, the very first convert to Christianity in Europe was a successful businesswoman who opened her home to a whole bunch of Gentile converts. How cool is that? And the church at Philippi was established through difficult circumstances in one of the leading cities of Macedonia. And by the way, Lydia was from Thyatira, which we said, that was back in Asia where Paul wanted to originally go. So God obviously had bigger plans for Paul and for Lydia, because you know she was traveling. And she began to spread the gospel. We can assume that. Crazy, huh? Paul in his mind, and he's trying to follow the Lord, and he's targeting Asia, synagogues, and men. But God is targeting Europe, Romans, and women. A whole different plan, right? What an amazing God we serve. With huge plans we don't often see unless we just keep moving forward through our circumstances. See, that's the secret. You've got to keep moving forward. Right? The whole irony of this story, once again, is that the book of Philippians is being written from Paul's Roman imprisonment years later. But guess what? This time, there's no chains falling off. There's no doors flinging open. There's no violent earthquake. There's just a trial on the horizon before a terrible emperor known as Nero, who was brutal to Christians. Things didn't go the same way the second time for Paul. But what has Paul learned through it all? There is no circumstance that can take the joy of the gospel away from us. See, that's the secret. That's the secret to being a Christian and to living a Christian life. It's no surprise how he begins the book. So let's just barely tap into Philippians chapter 1 today. Here's what he says. I'm going to read a little bit. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 6, we can put that up. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What he has started in your heart, he will carry on all the way through until completion, until your last day on this earth. He has a plan for you. I'd like to think that Paul was reflecting on all that God did with this church that wasn't even on his radar to begin with, but that turned into the letter he's writing to this people he dearly loved. And this helped him to say, whatever comes my way, I will be content. Let me read a little more before we're done. It is right for me, he says, to feel this way about you since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. Verse 12, let's put that up. It says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me, the things that have happened to me, things happen to us, huh? The things that have happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. And he goes on to say that as a result of all this imprisonment, the palace guard all knew why he was in prison. It was for the gospel. And even some of those guys were getting saved. Let me ask you a question. Do you think God could take whatever has happened to you to advance his kingdom, to advance the gospel? He can, and that's part of his plan. Part of his plan is to fill your life with the Holy Spirit, that you would be able to make it and be able to go through anything that comes your way, right? And use those experiences to advance the gospel. I just want to encourage you that what you've been through, God can use to advance the gospel. And you ought to share those things. Some of us, I'm going to ask y'all soon. Some of us need to come up here and share testimony. Because there are some good testimony in this room. There's some tough testimony in this room that can change lives. I want to do that one day. We're not going to do that today, but what has happened to you, God can use to advance the gospel. Some of the remaining scripture in this chapter, if you want to read it on your own this week, Philippians chapter 1. Go through Acts chapter 16, Philippians chapter 1, okay? Some of the remaining scripture suggests that Paul was not sure. This is towards the end of his life. He wasn't sure if he was going to make it out of this. He's like, this could be it. Right? And this is where he says, hey, to live is Christ. To die is gain. I'm not sure which one's going to happen to me. And so he concludes these first thoughts in Philippians 1 by sharing the same mindset. Let's put up verse 27. He says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. We don't know what's going to happen, but whatever happens, can we conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of his name? Amen? Amen. I want to pray and invite the worship team back up. I think you guys have a song you're going to carry us out on today. So come on up. Heavenly Father, we are in awe of your great plans and how you work all things for good, how you can use the things that have happened to us to advance the gospel. Your Holy Spirit is working in us and through us, but things happen to us, and you redeem it all for your kingdom. So help us to believe, to see your faithfulness in our lives. Help us to keep in step with the Spirit, to continue to push through the circumstances that we are in, even now. And to learn that secret, God, that my circumstances don't determine my contentment in Christ, but that I can do all things through you who give me strength. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't change. Our circumstances change. You don't change. And that's why we rely on you. In your mighty name, we pray these things. Amen.